You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
February the 7th, 2020, and the latest New Hampshire numbers show that Pete Buttigieg is soaring, catching up with his Democrat presidential nomination rival, Senator Bernie Sanders. That's according to the latest numbers coming out of New Hampshire. New Hampshire will be the state that holds the first primary in the race for the White House. That's coming up Tuesday, and tonight they're all in New Hampshire, at least seven of them, on stage debating. The Iowa party announcing finally, we got all the results, it's done, we've finished up our caucus, and Senators Bernie Sanders and Buttigieg will both take the same number of delegates to the Democrat National Convention. It had been so much chaos, delays, confusion, to the extent that the Democrat National Committee Chairman Tom Perez was so upset, he said, you know what, I'm going to call for a re-canvass. This has been a total mess. I wonder if he would have said that if Biden had been leading. I'm just asking. But while he's demanding and got all out of kelter that saying that we need to re-canvass everything, there was backlash immediately from other Democrats saying, where have you been, Tom, while all this is underway? Why have you been sitting somewhere else and now standing off to the side complaining? Oh, and here's something interesting that came out of the Iowa caucus. Nearly all non-English-speaking immigrant voters who gathered at a multilingual caucus center in Cedar Rapids supported Bernie Sanders. 107 non-English-speaking immigrant voters out of 121 present voted for Bernie, the socialist. I don't know if that had anything to do with where they came from originally, or if it's because the one word they do understand in English, Bernie likes to throw around, and that is free. In the meantime, former New York City mayor, presidential hopeful Michael Bloomberg, who will not be on stage tonight, is saying, you know what? In 2016, Bernie Sanders would have beaten Donald Trump. Bloomberg is saying if Clinton had not gutted Bernie using the DNC power, that Sanders could have actually beaten Donald Trump. I don't buy that. But what I do find interesting is that Bernie is probably thinking the same thing, that if it weren't for Hillary... Huh. Now Bloomberg tells him that. We have a former Illinois congressman, Joe Walsh, who had been a radio show host and so forth. He decided to leave the radio job because he wanted to run in a primary bid against Donald Trump. The showing in Iowa was so poor, Trump getting 97, 98% of the vote. Walsh is now saying no one can beat him, and I'm pulling out of the party. I mean, pulling out. No, Larry, you were right. He's pulling out of the party. Not just pulling out of the race, he's pulling out of the party. Says, I'll just go ahead and vote Democrat. The House, by the way, approving a bill that will let illegal immigrants seek damages from their employers. It will expand labor protections and boost unions across the board, which you know goes well for the Democrats. The coronavirus now killing more than 630, the majority in China. Globally, they estimate something like 30,000 across 25 countries and territories are infected. Cruise ships are being screened, docked Friday morning near New York City being assessed, and then thousands of others are being quarantined on cruise ships docked in Japan and Hong Kong. The persecution against religion continues in Russia, and now Russia has added 200 Jehovah's Witnesses. 200 Jehovah's Witnesses. Russia is putting them on a list of terrorists. I never had thought about Jehovah's Witnesses being terrorists. Granted, they'll keep coming around the door sometimes, but that's just their way to try to reach out. But according to Russia, they're going to be listed as terrorists. There is a great story about a woman and what she has done. NASA astronaut Christina Koch. It's spelled K-O-C-H, but we're told it's pronounced Cook. She's just back to Earth after spending a record 328 days in space. That breaks a record for the longest time a woman has spent in space. During that time, 5,200-plus orbits around Earth, six spacewalks, 42 hours and 15 minutes working outside the International Space Station. Scott Kelly holds a record for the longest space flight taken by any American astronaut. But Christina Koch now holds a record for the longest time a woman has spent in space.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate, and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The most important thing that the president has done, of all the things that he's done, are very important. But he's finally outed the media. The media in this town has been corrupt. And it took somebody like Trump to finally bring them out of their shell to where now they'll just openly go out. They'll tweet about it late at night. They get drunk. They send drunk tweets out. And they're vicious to him and Republicans. And I continue to try to get our Republicans to wake up in the Capitol. We should not be talking to the mainstream media. They are assassins. They're working for the other team.
That is Congressman Devin Nunes, Republican of California, appearing on Laura Ingraham's program last night. And as he said, these other mainstream media operatives out there, they are assassins. And then added the line, they are working for the other team. In other words, they're not working for the American public. They're not working for the big J, journalism. They're working for the Democrats and the libs. I liked it where he said the media in the town has been so corrupt it took somebody like Trump to bring them out of their shell. And he's done that. And he's done it to the extent that, I mean, look at what happened yesterday with this victory speech he did in the East Room at the White House. The way it was looked at by the leftists and the mainstream media was he was unhinged, and he was so nasty and vulgar in his language. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. And in fact, when we get to that, I'm going to do something I have never done in 5 years we've been doing this program. I'm going to do something that I debated, should I do this or not? I mean, it's just, but then I thought, yeah, let's do it. I want you to, because you probably don't see or hear some of the stuff I'm going to let you hear in a moment, because you don't even want to turn on that thing if they're on the air. But I want you to hear it. We'll do that in just a moment. But it is true, Trump has called them out. He has not rolled over. He hasn't cowered off in a corner. I mean, the House impeaches him. He's out on the campaign trail. Big deal. Raspberries. Not going to care what you do. I'll do what I want to do. And, of course, he called the media enemy of the people. I don't like that. On one hand, is for all the years, decades, 50, that I've spent as a journalist in electronic side of the business. But I know where he's coming from in the sense that they're not doing journalism. They're doing hatchet jobs. They are not doing the job they should be doing as journalists. Listen, when back before we had all the cable networks, you had your main three network operatives, CBS, NBC, ABC, a little bit later coming on. My dad, for the most part, would always watch CBS. He liked Walter Cronkite. And I didn't know much about any of the others at that time. But then as I began to get involved in the business, you still had that. And then we had CNN come to life. And in the beginning, it was probably more of a true news organization, 24-hour news, right on top of stories, staying on top of it. But then it began to change. Maybe in the beginning it was just a kind of a gradual thing, and maybe they thought, well, let's spice it up a little bit. But then it became a mission. And the mission was, we can use this platform to change America. We don't have to be elected. We can use what we have here and change America. And most inside the business, and at that time inside that particular operation, were liberal. For all the decades I've spent being a news anchor, folks, for the most part, never knew my political sway, and nor should they, because that's not my job as a news anchor. It's to do the job presented in a fair reporting fashion. Many of them thought I might be totally liberal. Got to be if you're in the business. And I didn't try to fight it or dispute it. I just did my job. And publications that existed out there. I remember the only magazine, news magazine, Dad would allow in the house would be U.S. News and World Report. The only one he trusted to do a factual job. Time. He did not want that thing coming in our house. Newsweek, nope. U.S. News and World Report. Because gradually the hold and the liberal hooks got deeper into news media until it became a challenge to find a story that was told factually without some kind of added comment, sneer, slur, slander, a wink of the eye, things of that nature. So Congressman Nunes is right. He said it took somebody like Trump to bring this corrupt media in this town out of its shell. Then he said they go out at night, they get drunk, send drunk tweets out. They're vicious to him and Republicans. And, of course, they don't mind what they do to attack him, but do he dare attack them? Oh, my God, they get so upset. I want you to hear, okay, I'm going to do this. I told you I was going to. I want you to hear a full, unedited CNN report. This is unedited by me. I took it as is presented by CNN, dealing with Donald Trump and his address to his supporters in the East Room last night. This follows the prayer breakfast yesterday, where he was very civil and mindful of the gathering. But now he's in the East Room. He's surrounded by supporters and obviously taking a victory lap because the impeachment failed. And he uses some language that some might say, that's kind of coarse, but is it really that bad? But if you think it's bad, that's going to be your personal judgment. But the key will be not so much what he does, but the reaction from the leftist. All right, without me adding anything else, here's, what's this, 2 minutes, Quentin? A two-minute, bear with us, a two-minute CNN report that you probably never would have seen or turned on because you're not going to bother watching or listening to them. Don't turn me off, please. Just hear it for 2 minutes, and then we'll pick up the other part of the story.
This is what the end result is.
One day after he was acquitted, President Trump touted the headlines and expressed no remorse as he claimed vindication.
I never thought a word would sound so good. It's called total acquittal.
From the East Room of the White House, the president lashed out at the Democrats he says tried to bring him down.
Adam Schiff is a vicious, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person.
Trump repeated a jab he made at the House Speaker Pelosi during the National Prayer Breakfast, accusing her of being dishonest when she says she prays for him.
I pray for the president. I pray for the president.
Pelosi, who was four seats away from Trump at the breakfast, later hit back.
I don't know if the president understands about prayer or people who do pray, but we do pray for the United States of America. I pray for him.
Basking in his victory while surrounded by Republican allies, Trump also denounced the one member of his party who voted to convict him on the abuse of power charge.
And then you have some that used religion as a crutch. They never used it before. Say hello to the people of Utah and tell them, I'm sorry about Mitt Romney.
Some Republican senators have claimed Trump learned his lesson after being impeached. But today, he insisted he did nothing wrong.
I had some that said, oh, I wish he didn't make the call. And that's okay. If they need that, it's incorrect. It's totally incorrect.
During the at times rambling remarks, Trump appeared to undermine aides who claimed earlier in the day he would express honesty and humility.
We first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit.
Instead, he lashed out at the investigations against him, which he dismissed as efforts to take him down.
It was corrupt. It was dirty cops. It was leakers and liars. And this should never, ever happen to another president, ever.
There you have it, a CNN report, unedited by me as I presented it. Yes, you heard the BS words expressly stated by this president. And the leftists, the liberals, you know, are such high morals and high standings. They, oh my God, did you hear what he said? And I'm looking at a piece written by Chris Zelizza, who's their editor-at-large. And he said in the headline, the hidden worst part of Donald Trump's unhinged impeachment victory speech. And he repeated some of the remarks you heard Trump say and some you didn't hear from other parts of it, saying the investigation, the Russian interference, it was evil, it was corrupt. We caught him in the act, dirty cops, bad people. We went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all BS. He put the word in full. He said, we got a man who got James Comey to choke. He said they were using religion as a crutch, of course, talking about Mitt Romney, decided I had to vote to impeach Trump after I prayed about it. And all the things he said about Adam Schiff being a horrible person, Nancy Pelosi, two low lives. So the attitude and the response of this writer for CNN is that here's Trump on steroids, unbound, incredible to watch. But he said the worst part of it had nothing to do with Trump. Instead, it was the audience who egged him on, laughed at his jokes, applauded. He is surrounded by those who love him and like what he's doing, and they are going to continue supporting them. And that's what the left does not understand even now. They still don't understand the man's pull. And the base is growing. It's growing because many have seen the guy can accomplish something. He's a disruptor. He doesn't do the things the way they used to. He's not a standard politician, but he gets things done. And he's had to do it in the midst of being constantly harangued, harassed, charged, and threatened. But then because he got a little emotional in some of his language, Hillary Clinton, appearing on a program with Ellen DeGeneres yesterday, saying, you know, I was never allowed when I was running, I shouldn't show emotion because they would think it's not right for a woman to get emotional. Y'all listen to this.
It's such a highly responsible, awesome job being president that I needed to demonstrate that, hey, you know, I can handle this. I can do it. I'm not going to get, you know, knocked around. And now, you know, we've got one of the most emotionally acting out people ever in the history of our country in the White House. And I don't hear anybody saying he's just too emotional, you know. Yeah. So we still have a ways to go until women are going to be judged by the same standards instead of the old double standard.
Yeah, and I knew she was going to throw in the gender card. Yeah, Trump is emotional. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. But Hillary, you've gotten emotional too. And I remember specifically one of them, the investigation of the Benghazi, talking about the deaths of our Americans, why you didn't do something sooner. What difference does it make now anyway? I considered that pretty damn emotional and wrong. But Trump isn't the only president who's ever used some salty language. Let's take a look at some of them coming up, and also how some New York rules in the state of New York might have gotten some witnesses to crimes killed. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the left got all upset because Trump yesterday, quote, unhinged and used the BS word in full. Shame, shame, shame. He's not the first president to use such language, and other Republican presidents have done it, and Democrat presidents. But let's focus on Democrats, since they want you to believe that they are above the fray. Now, Richard Nixon, obviously a Republican, stated at one time, according to a quote in Rolling Stone, people said my language was bad, but Jesus, you should have heard LBJ. Yeah, LBJ out of Texas, he was obviously crass in many ways. He'd sometimes be sitting on the toilet with the door open, talking to reporters and members of his cabinet, just trying to embarrass them, basically. And he would have things like saying, I do know the difference between chicken S and chicken salad. Let you fill it in. I don't want to fill in all of it. JFK, he could swear like a sailor. He was in the Navy. He could do it. The word leaked out at one point the Air Force had spent something like $5,000 to furnish a maternity suite for Jackie Kennedy at an air base. The president knew that was going to be used as a political football, and he told the general over the phone, this is obviously a F-up. And then from Missouri, give him hell, Harry Truman. He spent a lot of youthful days on the Santa Fe Railroad sleeping in the hobo camps, and he picked up a lot of language. In his eyes, General Douglas MacArthur was a dumb SOB. He used more direct. Nixon was a shifty-eyed GD liar. Truman said, I never did give anyone hell. I just told the truth. They just thought it was hell. Kind of like Trump at this point. There's a big connection to that extent between Trump and Truman. All right, back in October 2018, a man saw some boys being threatened by a gang, so he went out to protect the kids. And then this man got beaten with a bat and stabbed, but he was still going to testify against those who were attacking the kids and then attacking him. Well, last December, a head of New York's criminal justice system reforming a bunch of laws which would allow for protecting a witness so his name and address would not be available to those on trial. His name got released. They still don't know how it got released. They know the trial got delayed, but somewhere along the line, somebody from this MS-13 gang that he had caught and kept from attacking and killing two young boys, and they turned on him, beating him with a bat and stabbing him. They knew he was going to testify against them. Now they had his name and his address. The first of this month, they found his body. They found him. They killed him. He will not be a witness in that case. That's what they've done in New York with the change of the laws. And there's a proposal in Congress that is going to change the situation involving illegals and crimes to the extent that our nation is going to be in a direct threat. I'll explain.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a piece of legislation sponsored by 44 House Democrats, including Congresswoman Omar, Minnesota, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, created, sponsored by Congressman Jesus Garcia, Democrat of Illinois. And they're looking at this as what they consider an immigration reform bill. They're calling it the New Way Forward Act, H.R. 5383, the New Way Forward Act. And Garcia says this bill will break the prison-to-deportation pipeline. He's talking about that currently under U.S. law, legal U.S. immigrants can be deported if they commit an aggravated felony or a crime of moral turpitude. That would be something like molesting a child. Well, under the New Way Forward Act, such crimes would be eliminated entirely as a reason for deportation. In other words, under current law, immigrants who commit serious crimes, robbery, fraud, child sex abuse, must be deported regardless of the sentence they receive. Other crimes, less severe, require deportation as long as they serve at least 1 year. But then this bill also allows them to come back. And here's the crux of this bill, as it's presented in a foldout from New Way Forward, pushing for their legislation. On page 4, it states, the criminal legal system to deportation pipeline is a racial justice issue. Yeah, they're going to pull it right into race. And on the next page, under the Section 6 decriminalizing migration, it says a legislative history of provisions that make it a federal crime for someone to enter the U.S. somewhere other than an official port of entry is born from white supremacist ideology and politics. And they're being weaponized to demonize immigrants and tear families apart. And adds that striking these harmful laws would leave border crossings to just be a civil offense, not a federal crime. In other words, our national security and this federal law that protects our borders and says you can't just walk across it. You got to come to a certain point of entry. And if you come across, even then you've got to be have legal standing, cannot be participating in a crime, cannot be trafficking children across. It would all be reduced to just a civil offense. Oh, we'll give you a ticket. And then in Section 7, the right to come home. The bill talks about, or at least the handout, the tragic yet avoidable consequences of deportation. Broken families, tens of thousands of U.S. citizen children have a parent who is detained or deported every year, leaving thousands of children in foster care, income and tax revenue loss. After an immigration arrest, family income drops 70% on average, increased risk of mental health consequences for children, including depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. Listen, I can be sympathetic for all of those things when the children are the victim of it. But you can't give the adult a pass if they're breaking laws just because they got children. Stop and think about it. If law enforcement, be city, county, state, federal, know a guy running down the roadway, is carrying loads of cocaine in the trunk, but he's got his wife who's pregnant, their little baby girl, and two other children, and they know if they stop him, they're going to have to arrest him and put him in cuffs right there in front of all those kids and take him away, separating him from his children. It's going to be traumatic for those kids, understandably. Maybe they wait and try to catch him another time. But then again, maybe he's always using his family as a shield. But let's say it's an illegal that they also end up not only separating but charging and then deport him. Deport. Section 7 of this New Way Forward Act, H.R. 5383, H.R. 5383, New Way Forward. This section, quote, provides a legal pathway for those previously ordered, removed, or deported to apply to return to their homes and families. In other words, they can come back. You sent them out of the country because they committed a crime. They were here illegally. You sent them out of the country. And maybe it wasn't just drug running. Maybe it was molesting other children. Maybe it was assault. Maybe even a murder. And you send them out. And they can officially apply. And the government has to accept them coming back. And again, they're saying all of this is that our immigration plan, our Department of Homeland Security rules and regs, our ICE rules and regs, all built on white supremacy and all a matter of keeping people of color coming across the border. What a load of, you know. Those borders are there to protect all American citizens. And in our country, we have people of various colors, various religions, various beliefs, and we're not kicking them out because of their color or their beliefs, unless their belief involves sexually abusing a two-year-old. And in most cases, we're not kicking them out, we're jailing them. But you've got this Congressman Jesus Garcia of Illinois, along with the support of 43 other House Democrats, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, all saying, we want to break the prison-to-deportation pipeline. That even if someone has been arrested and put in prison, we don't want them then to be shipped out of the country because of the trauma it would cause for the family. And if they are shipped out of the country, then they should have a right to return. In other words, our effort to get rid of them and get them out of the country is useless, meaningless. Our border will become truly meaningless. See, this is a problem, and this is something that James Carville was talking about the other day when I was using some of his remarks about how far his Democrat Party is totally lost right now. He said, you guys are messing around with things like, you want to open borders, you don't want to have our borders protected. He said, you need to be dealing with what people really believe and concerned about, and the Democrats of this day and age are so far left. If they had control, do you realize what they would do? Well, this bill is pending in Congress, endorsed by Democrats, signed on by 44 House Democrats, and in producing it, they have a bill and they promote it and they say, convictions should not lead to deportations. And we're talking about crimes, like I said, molesting a child. Conviction of that should not lead to forced deportation. And if it does, then that person should be allowed to come back. Of course, you've already got sanctuary cities and states that pretty much allow them to come back anyway because they're not going to try to report them or do anything, and so they're going to probably come back and go into those areas at least. Does that make this country safer? Does that make you safer? And have we forgotten how important it was after 9/11 to make sure we secure our borders? And travel by plane to have to show who you are? I'm going to get a story in the next segment dealing with that because some of these New York laws have gotten to the point where that's also, no pun intended, up in the air. Because of liberals just want to have everything's fine. I still say that these folks that have committed these kinds of crimes, maybe we should just house them with the people that want to keep them here. And I'm not talking about their families. Let's find some other well-intended liberals who want to just make everything free and unpunishable. H.R. 5383. They say that right now it's got maybe a 4% chance of passing because they can't get through the Senate. And this should reaffirm to you as to why we need to make sure we take control of the House coming up in this 2020 election. Let me tell you what New York is doing in a moment.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, we're talking about all the changes in New York State because they have what they consider the green light law. The green light law is basically to protect illegals in their state. And as part of that law, the state had decided it was going to prohibit the Department of Motor Vehicles and the agencies across New York State, from sharing any criminal records with Customs and Border Protection and Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, because they might be illegal. ICE reports that last year they arrested 149 child predators, rescued 105 victims of exploitation human trafficking, arrested 230 gang members, seized thousands of pounds, 6,000 pounds of illegal narcotics. And majority of these, ICE was relying on the DMV records. And now they're being shut off. Well, now the Department of Homeland Security says, you know this global entry, trusted traveler program for New York residents, where they don't have to go through certain qualifications if they fill out all their information in advance? We're no longer going to allow New York residents to enroll in those programs or re-enroll when it comes up to renewal time. If we're not going to be allowed to look and get information that we need, I think it's just perfect, because why should they allow the state of New York to decide we're not going to give any information to the Department of Homeland Security that might make our nation safer? So the Department of Homeland Security blocking the state of New York from participating in those federal programs that would fast-track travel for New Yorkers reentering the U.S. from international airports. Now, I would imagine now some New Yorkers are going to get a little ticked off that, hey, I got this global entry thing. It's used to expedite entry into the U.S. from international airports, or Nexus, which expedites entry into the U.S. from Canada, and so forth and so on. And now Department of Homeland Security says, nope, if you're from New York, you're not going to be allowed to use that anymore, because we're not getting the information we need from New York as we're tracking down anyone trying to traffic in children, drugs, are possibly terrorists. You think now maybe the New York residents will get upset over it? Maybe not. And, of course, when you go through screening now, for the most part, I've had good experiences with TSA agents. I know in the beginning when they first started, some of them seemed to be, as I used to encounter in the South a lot, somebody that suddenly made a deputy sheriff, and boy, they got a badge on and they can rule and run over your life. But for the most part, I see TSA agents being more polite, respectful, and that's good. That's the way it should be. It's a job that's got to be carried out, but you don't have to be demeaning about it. You don't have to take advantage of people. And you certainly don't have to ask them to expose themselves to you. Howsomever, in Los Angeles, a 22-year-old TSA agent apparently had a young woman going through, and he tricked her twice, not once, but twice, into showing him her breast to make sure she wasn't carrying anything. He said first he had to look inside her bra to make sure she wasn't hiding anything inside her bra, then held her pants away from her waist so he could look down inside her pants. He said, I'm going to need to take you to a private room for more security screening. But then when they were on the elevator at Los Angeles International going up to supposedly the security screening, he said, you know what, I can do it right here. So he had her lift her blouse again, quote, to show me your full breast. And again, he looked down her pants. And then said, okay, you're going to be free to go. You got nothing I can find. I don't know how the young woman got into that situation to begin with, or why she didn't complain in the first, but then to go with the guy again. That I don't know what she was thinking, but maybe she was so intent on making the flight, she thought, I can't miss this flight. I don't know. But I do know that enough attention and noise was made at some point, either by her or someone else who was aware of it, that the TSA agent was arrested, as he should be, being held $50,000 bail, scheduled to make an appearance in court maybe sometime later today. And, of course, TSA, which initially brought the case to the FBI, said that was improper, it's unacceptable, and goes against our hardworking and committed members of our TSA workforce. And I would agree. Listen, they have their job to do. Comply the best you can. If there are times and issues that come up, then make sure it's discussed there. But I can't believe that guy was able to trick her into doing it not once but twice. I hope he gets what he has coming. Thanks again for listening. Please let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. We'll be back tomorrow. No, Larry, we'll be back Monday. Same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.